Time and the harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You know, the old, you hear folks say all the time, doesn't the Bible say someplace that you won't be able to tell summer from winter before the Lord comes? That, you know, you hear that kind of stuff. They always get it all twisted up. Amen. It says just the opposite. Right? They say, well, I know the Bible says that you won't be able to tell spring from fall or winter from summer. It doesn't say that. It's always going to be there. When you listen to unsaved people talk about the Bible, just ignore most of what they say. Amen? Because they always got it wrong. But now, there is a promise there. It said that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. I got to thinking about that. I was going someplace the other day, and there were some tractors out in the field, and I don't know what all they were doing. I am not a farmer. But I always admired farmers. They have to live by faith, if anybody does. And I was watching them guys out there work, and they were clearing the field and getting it ready and going to plant some kind of crop. I know some crops are already in, you know. You plant different things at different times. But anyway, I got to thinking about it. Seed time, or planting time, and harvest. That's when you do the reaping. And I got to thinking about that, and I looked up some verses in my Bible and thought about them, and there's just any number of ways to use this passage of Scripture. I mean, I had a hard time settling down. Say, I mean, because you can talk about your life, seed time, and harvest. But I didn't want to do that. I thought about it, and I thought, Lord, what's the most beneficial? What's going to be the most profitable way to use that? And if I understand, if I got it right from the Lord, I want to talk to you about soul winning. Seed time and harvest. So the message today is going to be a little different than I normally do on Sunday morning, but that's the only way I can get some of you here is Sunday morning. Amen. You won't come back Sunday night. You won't come Wednesday. So I'm just going to blast you this morning. Let you carry the bruises the rest of the week. Somebody say amen. Now, let me give you some scripture, and then we'll talk about it for a little while. And because I'm going to have to do half of this morning, the other half this evening, Lord willing. It said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6 said, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2 said, there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the Bible said, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. And some fell by the wayside, and some fell upon a rock, and some fell among thorns, and some fell upon good ground. Now, the seed that fell upon by the wayside got trodden underfoot, did nothing. The seed that fell on the rock withered because it had no deepness of earth. And the one that fell among the thorns was choked. Somebody else killed it. And then some fell on good ground, and it brought forth fruit. 25%, one out of four. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't take those kind of odds, but if I can get a 25% increase on what I do, I'll take it. Amen? And so the Bible has a lot to say about sowing and planting. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible said, I planted, Apollos hath watered, but God gave the increase. Well, now, what are they planting? Well, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the Bible said, explaining the parable of the sower, the seed is the Word of God. You and I have something to plant. You and I have something to sow. And if we'll plant it, and if we will sow it, there will sooner or later come a harvest. Amen? Now, some things have to be done between planting and harvesting, and we're going to discuss some of those. But while I was thinking about it now, and when I'm not a farmer, I have tried over the years to learn some things about it. I like to plant a garden. I just don't like to work it. Planting a garden is time-consuming. I got a friend, I love this guy dearly, and he is a gardener. I mean, he just absolutely loves it. And he'll try anything. If it's in the old farmer's almanac, he's give it a shot. He plants by the almanac. He harvests by the almanac. He tries every method. He's got tomatoes growing out of old tires and got stuff growing out of straw. I mean, he's just, if it's in that old farmer's almanac, James Griffin thinks it's gospel. Amen. If there's an addendum to the Bible, it's the old farmer's almanac. He turns stuff out. I mean, he will get more. I mean, he just got a green thumb. He's a planter and a farmer, and he just likes that stuff. And so I've watched him, and I've watched other folks over the years, and I know that in order to get a crop or to get a harvest, you got to plant. Amen? So I thought to myself, well, Bob, what's such a big deal about that? Just stick a seed in the ground and you're through, right? Well, that's really not the case. So I got to thinking about, what have you got to do to plant seed? I mean, if you just walk out in the front yard and throw seed out on the ground, the birds eat it, and you're not going to get any yield, right? Ain't nothing going to happen. And so there has to be some preparation to sow. If you want it to come up, if you don't want to just waste your money, if you don't want to just waste your time, there are certain things you got to do to get it ready. Now, my wife killed more plants than anybody I know. She has a master's degree in herb destruction. If it grows, she can kill it. Amen. And she's found novel ways to do it. The last year or two, she's used the cats to kill. Every time she plants something in them little concrete planters, the cats come lay on it and kill it. So this year she's got fence around her little concrete planters. Of course, we ain't got no cats, so I don't know what she's doing. Anyway, I've watched her, you know. Even though she's not too successful as a general rule, she goes to a lot of trouble to get. She buys potting soil and topsoil and Miracle-Gro. And anything, and those little sticks you stick in the ground that's supposed to feed them. And then she waters them till they all die. Yeah, now she's got a thing to measure the water in the ground. Doesn't mean she'll use it. And it doesn't mean the Lord will cooperate with her. But she's got one. And so what I'm saying is I've watched folks, and there's a lot of work to planting. There's a lot of work to getting in the seed in the ground in a condition that it'll grow. And so I'm going to talk to you about that for just a few minutes this morning. Now, I have eight little things here about that. And this is just point number one. The first thing is this. Seed time. That's planting time. That's sowing time. First of all, the sower must prepare to sow. Before you ever put the seed in the ground, before you ever put the plant in the ground, you've got to get yourself ready and make some prior preparations before you ever till the soil up. One, you got to get yourself psyched up to do it, which for me is a major undertaking. Amen. Because playing in the dirt, that's not been my thing since I was about three. But you got to get yourself psyched up, and then you got to figure out when you're going to do it and where you're going to do it. Where am I going to plant? What am I going to plant? When am I going to plant it? You got to worry about soil temperature and all this, that, and the other. You got to go down and buy the fertilizer in advance. You got to buy the seed in advance. Amen. And so there's a lot of stuff you got to do before you ever actually get around to sticking a piece of seed in the dirt. And if you're going to win people to Christ, if you're going to sow the Word of God, you've got to get yourself ready. Amen? You need to do some serious reading and memorize you some verses. Psych yourself up to do it. It doesn't come natural. The idea of going out and talking to, well, suppose you went out to soul win and you knocked on somebody's door and they looked like Tommy Stewart. So you'd instantly decide not to do it. Look at that hostile look. I mean, it's like looking at Mount Everest here. Insurmountable. Hard and cold and barren. I love you, brother. But you walk up to that guy's door, and he said, yeah, what do you want? Oh, nothing. I think I got the wrong number. I thought, I'm looking for the person next door. I'm looking for somebody with a smile on their face and life in their eyes. So you got to psych yourself up to do it. You got to make some preparation to do it. You got to get some gospel tracts. You got to get a plan of salvation worked out in your mind. You got to get it outlined. So before you ever go and plant seed, you've got to spend some time getting ready to plant seed. Amen? Secondly, not only do you have to spend some time getting ready, then the sower must prepare the ground to be sown. Now, one of the things I hated about the gardening was every year the grass grows up. I got a great place for a garden, and the topsoil is about this deep. It will grow anything. The problem is every year when I go out there, it's all covered with grass, which means you got to get the tiller, unless you're a Tommy Stewart or a Bruce Stewart, and then you have a tractor. But you got to go out, and you got to till that stuff up, and got to get all that grass and stuff out of there. And you got to get all them roots and stuff out of there. And then you got to dig it down and loosen it up and all that stuff and put the fertilizer in it and mix it in all that stuff you got to do. But you got to prepare. Once you're prepared, then you got to prepare the ground. Amen? If you want to be a soul winner, you got to prepare yourself. Then you have to prepare the ground. You've got to talk to somebody, to know somebody, have some kind of a relationship or some kind of rapport with them before they're ever going to let you plant the seed. A lot of folks are not going to let you talk to them about the Word of God until you put them at ease. That's the reason we talk about when you go soul winning. You sit around, you talk to folks for 5 or 10 minutes and loosen them up and talk about their yard and their young'uns and hunting and fishing or whatever it is. You're trying to till up the soil and get it loosened up so that the seed can be planted. But you just can't walk up to somebody's front door, a perfect stranger, and say, all right, you know you're going to die and go to hell and Jesus love you and read this and believe it and repent and get saved. It's not going to work that way. Amen. You got to prepare the ground. You got to spend some time getting it ready. And now there's all kind of ways to do that. I've watched farmers. When I was up in Virginia Beach, they plant a lot of potatoes up there. And they come in and they disc it up. Then they harrow it. And then they come back and they mound it. They've got some kind of thing they pull behind a tractor that mounds the dirt up because you plant potatoes in the mound. Potatoes grow underground. They got all them leaves up there, but the spud is in the dirt. It's a root. And so they've got all this special equipment to get the ground ready, and then they got a special machine to plant it. Amen. You do a garden, you can do it with a tiller and a rake and that kind of stuff. If you do it like James Griffin, you can plant them in old tires. But you got to get the tire turned inside out or whatever it is and stuff it with all that junk before you can get the seed and stuff in there. Now, you got to prepare the ground. And there's a lot of different ways. I remember my grandmother preparing her little garden with a hoe. She didn't have a tractor. She didn't have a tiller. She had a hoe and a rake. And she would get out there in the springtime, and a little bit at a time, because she was getting on up in years, and she'd take that hoe and she'd dig like that and rake them roots and stuff, and she did her garden with a hoe. And then when she got it all loosened up, she'd come back and rake it and get it all smoothed up, and she'd come back and plant lettuce and radishes, and over on this side she'd put pole beans, and over there would be squash, and way too many squash. If you plant any squash, too many squash. But she would get the ground ready by hand. I watched them plant rice. You ever watch them plant rice? They plant it, it's flooded. And them girls get out there and they got their little things pulled up above their knees and they've bent over like this all day. Boy, it's a tough way to make a living here. And they take them little old rice plants and they stick it down in that water and put it in the ground, one plant at a time. But somebody had to dam that up and get all the thing ready. There's got to be preparation of the ground itself in order to get the seed in it and get the seed to come up. And so we have to spend, we have to get ourselves ready and prepare ourselves. Then we have to get the ground ready. Once you find somebody to talk to and to give the Word of God to, you've got to make a friend out of them and you loosen them up. You've got to get them prepared. Now, a lot of times, things that go into preparing is somebody else has already put out a gospel tract. Or they've watched something on TV, or they heard something on radio, or something's happened in their life. There's a lot of ways God uses to loosen the dirt. Amen? And folks say, well, you know, I so-and-so, and he got saved the very first time. You know, the honest truth, I've been doing this for 34 years, and I don't believe that. You mean it was the first time you talked to him? But I'll be honest with you, I've been observing it and making notes on it. I've talked to my wife about it a dozen times. Everybody that I know that ever got saved that amounted to anything, there was a long process involved. You go out and plant a seed, and they say, oh, I led them to Christ in 5 minutes. Yeah, because that's because God's already dealt with them about something. Somebody else has already talked to them. They were under conviction. They've already had a problem in their life. They've looked for God before and been disappointed. But I guarantee you, if you look, there's been a long history of spiritual work in their heart and their life before they got saved, if it's real. Now, I've had folks pray and make a profession of faith and go on their merry way just to get us out of the house and get you off their back. But I'm talking about those conversions that really amount to something, where they get in church, get baptized, and learn to live right. I guarantee you, if you'll analyze it, there's a history there before you did any reaping. Somebody planted some seed. Somebody prepared the ground. And it took a while. It was not an instantaneous process. Getting saved is instantaneous. Getting prepared to get saved takes a while. Now, not only must we prepare the ground, this is a key element in the whole process. The sower must sow. Isn't that profound? You know, you can buy you a bag of cotton seed and set it over there in the barn, and you can go out and plow the cotton fields, turn them under and all that stuff and get them ready, and here's the seed and there's the field. But if you don't get off your blessed assurance and quit watching Ofri and go out in the field and take that sack of seed with you and plant it, you never, ever, ever going to get any cotton. Amen? Now, you can try it any way you want to. You run this experiment. Go down and get you some flower seeds. I never have figured out why people want to plant seeds anyway when you can go down and buy a thing already done. Amen? You ever been down to Walmart? They got all kind of flowers. Just go down and get you a handful. My mama used to grow tomatoes. And she's one of them old school. She had to grow them from seed. She put them in these little containers, and she'd fix them and grow them, and they'd get up about this high. Then we had to take them out of that and put them in the ground. And then when the thing got up, where they had a stalk about this big round, it'd be about that high, we had to transplant them. I never got that transplanting part. But she'd make us dig them up every year and plant them someplace else. I said, why didn't you pick the spot you wanted when you started? I don't know why they do that, but she always did. But she always got good maters. Amen. But if you, I guarantee you, if she didn't put the seed in the ground, there never would have been a mater. Amen. And if you don't go out and witness and tell folks about Jesus Christ, if you don't preach the Word of God to them, if you don't incorporate the Word of God in your conversation, you're never, ever going to see any fruit. Amen. You ought to prepare yourself and get some Bible in your head so that when you're sitting around the break table or the lunch table with the folks you work with or if the neighbors next door, now, you're not going to have near as many friends this way. I want you to understand that. But you're going to be a lot better off without them because they're dead weight. But when you're sitting around with them folks and they get to talking about this, that, or the other, you quote Bible. Now, nothing is going to destroy a conversation and ruin a friendship like quoting Bible. If you want to be unpopular, if you want to get rid of folks, just start quoting Bible and watch them just vanish. Amen? And then you spend the rest of your life chasing them down, trying to get another shot. Amen. But you ought to know enough Bible. You ought to be prepared enough. You ought to be full enough of the seed so that you get some of the seed in your conversation. If you talk to somebody 5 days a week and you talk about sports every day and you never get God in it, you're as backslid as Hogan's goat. Amen. Shame on you if you talk to anybody more than 2 or 3 times in a week and they don't get at least one Bible verse out of your mouth. Amen. Now, if you get real good at it, you can get where you can use half verses and quarter verses. And you learn enough verses, and you just take the meat out of them and get, you know. God honors that, though. Amen. Amen. I mean, I got a lot of verses. You don't have time to quote the whole thing. And sometimes you take a real good verse, it's got a good sharp dagger in the middle of it. But if you quote the whole thing, it's kind of cumbersome. So you just take the meat out and stick them with it. Amen. Amen. You do that? Oh, I do that all the time. And me and my wife, we do it to each other all the time. She can rest more to Scripture to her own destruction than anybody I know. When you know a lot of Bible, it's a lot of fun to argue. Because then you beat each other up with it, you know. Throw seed at each other. Now, not only must we sow the seed, because nothing's going to happen until we do that. If you don't learn enough Bible so that you can put it in your conversation, shame on you. If you've been saved 6 months or a year and you don't know 25 or 30 verses on living right and that you can give people about drinking and fornication and adultery and abortion and that kind of stuff and 2 or 3 verses on how to get saved, shame on you. You ought to get yourself filled up with the seed. You ought to learn some of the Word of God so you can sow it wherever you go. Now, some of it's not going to fall on good ground, but some of it will. Yeah. But if you don't sow it, it ain't. Now, not only must you sow, the sower chooses where to sow. Now, if you go out to my house, you can cut my grass. I got about a half an acre back there that's big enough for a garden. Now, I can put seed anywhere I want to in my yard. It's my yard. Get 2 acres there, and not much, but it's mine. My 2 acres. And I can plant corn and watermelons in my front yard if I want to. Now, it's not going to be too wise because all the topsoil has washed down that hill over the year. That's the reason my garden place has got topsoil this deep. Because up here ain't nothing but rocks. Now, I can plant it up there, but grass won't grow up there. I know corn ain't coming up. Amen. And so I choose to plant it back here. There ain't no rocks over there. It's good, rich topsoil. It's all washed down the side of that hill over the years, and that's where it's all at. But it's my choice. And when you go out to witness, and when you're talking, and you have an opportunity to use the Word of God, it's up to you where to sow. It's up to you when to decide to sow. It's up to you to decide where to sow. Amen? And you can do it any place, anytime you want to. Sometimes you can sow it down at the mall. Sometimes you can sow it next door. Sometimes you can sow it with your family. But it's up to you. But you better decide to sow if you ever want to reap anything. Amen? It may be your decision where to sow, and it's certainly your decision when to sow. And it's your decision what to sow, the verses you use, the Bible you quote, all that's left up to you. God leaves you a lot of leeway in how to do it. But He wants you to do it. God wants every Christian to sow the seed. I know Christians have been saved 10 years, and if I ask you right now to stand up and quote me 10 verses, you'd have a heart attack because you don't know 3. Now, you know what you're not going to do if you don't know any Bible? You're not going to sow it. You're not going to sow it. You're not going to quote it because you don't know it. You can't tell them what you don't know. Amen? And so, if you're going to sow the seed and you're supposed to sow the seed, then you have to be full of the seed. You've got to have to learn some Bible. Sit down and read it and memorize some of it. Get you them verses over there in Romans chapter 10, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:12, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9 through 17. It's only about 10 verses. Learn them things. And when you talk to folks, quote Bible to them. But you ought to learn some about drinking, you know. Woe unto them that's mighty in his own eyes to drink strong drink. Amen. Woe unto him that tarrieth at the wine till his eyes be inflamed. Amen. Learn you some. Who hath contention? Who hath wounds? Who hath babblings and all that? They that tarry along with the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Learn you some. Learn you some verses on about the sanctity of life. All that stuff. So why? So you can sow the seed. Wherever you go, have you a Bible verse. J. Harold Smith used to say he had a verse for everything. He used to tell his wife, he said, "You can't think of nothing I don't have a verse for." And so one day, he's doing something and he swallowed a fly. And he's about to choke on it. And she said, okay, J. Harold Smith, you said you always got a verse for everything. Give me a verse for that. He said, "He was a stranger in the land, and I took him in." You'd be surprised how much fun the Bible is if you just knew some of it. Amen. Now, the sower must choose where to sow. The sower chooses what to sow. The sower chooses all that stuff. God leaves that up to your discretion, but God wants you to sow. Amen. And if we're ever going to see a crop of souls, if we're ever going to see people's lives change, then we're going to have to plant the Word of God. We're going to have to plant it all the time, everywhere we can, every opportunity we get. Amen? Now, I know this about sowing. The seed sown must be watered. Paul said, "I sowed, Apollos watered, God gave the increase." I know when you get the seed in the ground, that's not the end of it. If you want it to come up, you got to fertilize it a little bit. You got to put a little water on it. Amen? You know what happens a lot of times? We plant the seed. We put a verse in somebody's head. We witness to them or we talk to them about some problem they're having. We give them scripture on it. And we never follow up. We don't water what we did. We just plant the seed in dry ground and let it go. Sometimes, most of the time, you need to go back in a little while and pour a little water on it. Go back in a little while and say, "Now, you know what we was talking about the other day? How'd that go? I did what I tell you, helped you. I mean, if you got to give them some more scripture, water the thing. Don't just let them dry up and die. You put a seed in the ground and you don't put any water on it, it ain't ever going to come up. Now, I like it in the summertime when the grass starts growing and it gets real hot and dry outside and everybody's complaining about, "Oh, we need rain, we need rain, we need rain." I'm praying, "Lord, don't let it rain." So why? Because when it rains, the grass grows. Now, I hate cutting grass. Somebody say amen. If it don't rain, you only have to cut the grass about twice a year. If it rains, you got to cut it every cotton picking week. Watering it makes it grow. And if you plant the Word of God, if you plant the seed and don't come back and water it, there's not going to be anything there. Listen, when you've got an opportunity to talk to somebody or help somebody or counsel with somebody or pass out a gospel tract, got into their house to witness to them, don't let that be the only time you ever see them. Don't let that be the only time you ever talk to them. Go back and water the seed. Most of you here today would not be saved if somebody had not come back more than once. Now, not only must we water the seed, need to learn this about planting seed. The seed sown will grow, but not all seed grows at the same rate. If you put lettuce or radishes in the ground, it's only a few days, a couple of weeks, and that stuff's ready to pull. Radishes grow just almost overnight. Lettuce comes up just like that. Now, if you plant them pole beans and them maters and them watermelons, now you've got to wait a while. Amen? Say, why? Well, I put them all on the ground at the same time. Yeah, but they don't germinate at the same rate, and they don't develop at the same rate. And so you have to know what kind of seed you're dealing with and know how to water it and how to treat it and how to take care of it once it's in the ground. Amen? Not everybody is going to respond to the seed the same way. Not everybody that you give the Word of God to is going to hear it the same way or receive it the same way or respond to it the same way. And you got to be ready to deal with different kind of people who respond to the seed in different ways. All that means is you can't. It's not like an assembly line where everybody's the same and it's just chop it off. It doesn't work that way. Sowing the seed, the Word of God, in the hearts of men is an ever-changing situation. Every one you ever do is going to be different from the last one. You can't just say, well, this is my routine, and I'm going to do it like this, and this always works for me, because it won't always work for you. You're going to have to learn to be a little flexible. I've got to hurry. Not only does seed not grow at the same rate, some seed doesn't come up. Now, several years ago, last time I did a garden thing, actually, I just planted cantaloupes and watermelons. James Griffin had a bag of the world's largest watermelon seeds. He'd had them 3 or 4 years. That's why he gave them to me. He's a cheapskate. But he gave me that bag of seed, and I took them home, and I did just exactly what it said on the bag. I made them little mounds, and I put them so far apart, and I put the right number of little seeds down in there, like a quarter inch or whatever it is, and I covered them over. I went right by it, and I had about 15 hills for watermelons. And I was going to get me some biggins, boy, because it said the world's, and I had this Miracle-Gro solution to pour on there, you know, after they got going. I was going to get me some whoppers. And you know, out of that bag, I had 3 hills that came up. Had about 3 watermelons on each one. I thought, boy, that's some lousy seed. I mean, I put all them things in the ground, and I got 3 little things to come up. Had about 8 or 9 watermelons. Now, I did get one that weighed 70-something pounds, though. I mean, it looked like a big, fat green pig laying out there in the sun. I'm not going to tell you the story behind that watermelon, but my mama really liked it. Anyway, the rest of that seed died. Now, it was the same seed out of the same bag. I planted it the same way. I did the same thing to it, but most of them didn't come up. I never saw one thing out of it. I wasted my time and energy and labor. But I didn't know that going in. Amen? I was expecting all of them to come up. I wanted all of them to come up, but they didn't all come up. And that's just a fact of life when you farm or when you plant. You have to understand that sometimes your best intentions aren't going to amount to a hill of beans. They're not coming up. But that don't keep us from planting. That don't keep us from farming. It don't keep us from wanting them to come up. It don't keep us from going out and digging them and dunging them and watering them and all that stuff. We keep right on doing that, anticipating they're going to come up. And the truth is, most of the time, most stuff does come up. If your friend that gives it to you has not had it for 5 years. Most of the time, if you plant and do it right, most of it will come up. But there's a certain amount not coming. And you can't get all down in the mouth and discouraged and say, well, I witnessed to 25 people and there wasn't but 3 of them that listened to me. Nothing. I witnessed to all them people and nothing happened. You just keep on planting. You keep on planting. You keep on watering. You keep on working. And sooner or later, you see some come up. Amen. And you know what you do? Instead of whining about the ones that don't come up, rejoice over the ones that did. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I learned this. Once you get the seed planted, you notice the verse we read there for our text said, there's seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. It's just plant and harvest. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe when you read that you get the wrong idea. You think that planting and harvesting go together, but it doesn't. There's seed time and harvest. But in between, there's growing. You know what I learned about farming? That you plant over here and you harvest over here. And there's this interlude, there's an intermission between planting and harvesting. There's different, there's a time to put the seed in the ground and there's a time to take the fruit. And there's a big space in between. And I thought, well, Lord, what do we do with that space? You know what? The Bible's got a verse for everything. I love this. You ready? In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the Bible said, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The Bible said in James 5, 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. So why? Because when you put the seed in the ground, there's that germination and the coming up and the filling out and the maturing and then the ripening and then comes the harvest. But boy, between here and here is a big, long space. Amen? You know what we do? We think that every time we talk to somebody, they ought to get saved. Every time somebody comes to church, oh, we want them to get saved. We want them to get saved. Nothing's happening down in our church. The preacher preaches, and there must be sin in the camp because nobody's getting saved. Listen, whether they're getting saved this morning or not, we are planting seed. And we're going to water the seed and nurture the seed and protect the seed. And sooner or later, some of the seed will come up, and we'll have a harvest. You know what we have to do in the meantime? We have to be patient. Now, you know what happens in that interlude between planting and harvesting? When I was a boy, we lived out on Bestown Road up in North Carolina, up close to Cherryville. It's farming country. And we lived in a little white house over here, and the guy across the street from us was a farmer. And he raised cotton. And that guy would come out there every spring and till up the ground and plant up the ground and put the cotton seed in. And then you wouldn't see him for a while. And then you would start to see little cotton plants coming up through the ground. And y'all ever work cotton? It's a nasty way to make a living. But them little cotton plants would start coming up, and in a few weeks they'd probably be up about this high. Now cotton, I've had cotton this big. I mean, it'd get 3 feet high. But the cotton seed would come. You know what that old guy would do? All of a sudden, he'd show up out there one day, him and about 500 others, with hoes. And they would hoe that cotton. And what they're doing, all the little grass and the weeds that's coming up around the cotton plant, you're taking that hoe and cutting it down. And you're loosening up the ground so that it can breathe, and so when it rains, the water will soak in. And all day long, man, they'd stand out there in the hot sun and hoe that cotton, hoeing a row. The long row, and then move to the next row. You know what else they do? They go out there, that old fella come out there in the evening, and I just watched him. He'd take them plants and turn them up like that and look on the backside. He's looking for worms and boll weevils. He'd find a worm or two or a boll weevil or two. Next day or two, there'd be an airplane flying up and down that cotton field, spraying. You know what he's doing? He's taking care of that plant. He planted it. And it's coming up. It's making progress. There's no fruit yet. But if he wants to get it to the place where he can get a crop, where there's a harvest coming, he's got to work with it all the way from planting to harvest. Just because you got it planted don't mean you're through. And that old boy come out there and they would hoe it. And they would do the weeds. And they would spray it with insecticide. And he'd get rid of the worms. And he'd get rid of the boll weevils and all that stuff. And he would spray that stuff and take good care of it. So why? He wants a good crop. He wants a healthy crop. He wants a bountiful crop. And in order to get that, there was more to it than stick it in the ground and watch it. That old boy worked all summer long on that stupid cotton. And when you plant the Word of God and when you sow the seed, you got to go back and go back. You've got that little plant springs up. Somebody shows a little interest. Go back and water it. and dig it and dung it and spray it and protect it. And when the parasites come in, the Pentecostals and the wackos and the weirdos and all that stuff and them crazy TV preachers and all that money-groveling mess, you be in there and you spray it. You put the insecticide. Kill the worms and kill the boll weevil. Protect what you've done. It's going to be your crop, right? It's going to be your harvest, right? Then don't let it go. Take good care of it. You planted that seed, you make sure it comes up. You know, I've had people say, you know, preacher, I've been working with old so-and-so there for years. And every now and then I'll get a word in. Every now and then I'll get him to come to church. And so I don't know why you don't give up on him. Ain't nothing going on there. You don't know. You don't know. Now, I don't think you ought to spend all your time on one hardhead, but I'll tell you what, if you get a chance to invite them to church, you invite them. Amen? You get a chance to quote a verse of Scripture or talk to them about some problem or subject they're interested in, do what you can. Plant the seed. Dig it, dung it, put a little water on it, put some insecticide on it, kill the plant, help that thing to grow. You never know how. Maybe it's a late bloomer. You ever notice, I know folks that plant maters. They don't say tomatoes down south. They plant maters. They got maters, taters, and backer. Down south, they don't say anything right. They don't say, did you eat? They say, did you eat? Jew eat? Jew eat? No, Jew. Weirdo, man. You ever listen to a southerner say breakfast? I went and had breakfast. Breakfast. You did? What'd you have for breakfast? Eggs and grits? I'm a traditionalist. Anyway. Now, in this interlude between planting and harvesting, let me give you four or five things. That you have to do. One, you have to dig it and weed it if you want it to come up. Amen? You have to water it and feed it. You know, most of the time you come back, my wife plants them flowers and stuff, and she gets them in the ground, and everything ought to be good. She buys the best seed, Walmart, topsoil from Walmart, potting soil from Walmart, operating instructions from Walmart, water gauge from Walmart. So you think everything will be okay, but you know, she gets that Miracle-Gro or them food sticks. See why? Because you got to feed the plant to get it to come up right. If you want big, healthy ones. And so we spend a little extra time, a little extra money to feed that plant so it will grow up big and strong and healthy. Amen. See why? Because when them maters come in, when them flowers come up, we want big blooms and big blossoms and big maters. So we water it and we feed it. We dig it, we dung it. Then we put insect repellent and all that stuff and pest control. One year I planted some stuff out there and we had mold. And the mole's coming in there eating the roots off the stuff. You ever try to get rid of a mole? Hallelujah. You just got to pray for them to die. They're going to die of old age before you kill them anyway. I mean, unless you want to sit out there at night with a shotgun and watch that little trench come and just put it down there and blow the dirt away, you know, and you got a little sucker. But all them gadgets they put, you know, you got the little thing you put in the ground that's supposed to send this vibration. They dance to that. That's music to their ears. Then, not only do you dig it and dung it and water it and pest control it and all that, you watch it and protect it. Amen? I planted some stuff out there 4 or 5 years ago. That's about 8 or 10 years ago, I guess. And the rabbits was eating it. So you find some way to get rid of the rabbits. I put rabbit traps out. Didn't do any good. Never caught one single rabbit. But I'd go out there at night and they'd be everywhere. But you know what I was trying to... They was eating the leaves and stuff and pulling the carrots up out of the ground. What are you going to do? I went to all that work. I dug that ground up. I prepared that ground. I expended my labor. I bought seed. I went to a lot of trouble. I tilled it and fertilized it. And then here a little rabbit comes along and wants to eat up my crop. I ain't no way, honey. I'm gonna have rabbit stew. What are we going to do? So why? I'm going to protect my plants. So why? I want a harvest. And buddy, when you put out the word of God, and you get the seed in the ground and it takes root and starts to grow, don't you let nobody come in and mess with it and mess it up. I remember on the ship, you know, we had a ministry on the USS Forrestal. And we'd go up there and we'd get folks saved. And we had about 100 and something folks saved on one 6-month cruise. And as soon as them guys would get saved, all of a sudden them charismatics and wackos would show up. And we'd find them and have them guys over in the corner and they'd be showing them in their Bible, hey, I got to speak in tongues. And I am so mild-mannered anymore. When I first got saved, I had about as much tact as a rattlesnake. I have spun them guys around and said, buddy, shut up and leave him alone. You can't talk. I said, I just did. You can't tell me I can't. I already did. And I'm telling you. He came to our service, and he got saved, and he's growing in grace, and he don't need any nonsense from you. Now, you can be a little gentler than that. You can be a little nicer than that. You're nice folks and all that. Be a little sweeter. But I'm here to tell you, if God gave you somebody, and you got a burden for them, and you see that the plant's starting to come up, and there's a little interest, and you've nurtured it a little bit, and you see a little bit of growth, and you see a little bit they're getting interested in the things of God, don't you let nobody come around and mess it up. You planted that seed. It's your job to take care of it. Not only do we watch it, you know what you have to do between planting and harvest? You have to pray. Now, I think all farmers are prayers. They may not be saved. They may not even be religious. But all farmers pray. See what they pray for? Lord, we need rain. Whether they believe in God or not, they'll offer up a prayer to somebody if they need rain for them crops. You know what I've heard farmers pray? Lord, please hold off the rain. Don't let it rain anymore. We can't get in the fields to harvest, and the crop's going to be ruined because the fields are so wet we can't get in and get the crop in. Every time they put out a severe thunderstorm warning, all farmers pray, Lord, let it be on Lewis's field. Lord, let it be on Brother Steve's field, but skip Brother Bob's. It said scattered showers, one there and one there. Amen. Don't kid me, son. If you put all that work and labor into it and you see it's in danger, you're going to pray for it to survive. You're going to protect it. Amen. And listen, when you put out the word of God and you see people starting to heed it and be interested in it and show some concern about it, you pray. You pray. You say, Lord, I want you to bless the word of God. I want you to bless the seed. Give it life and let it take root. Let it germinate. Let it come up. Lord, let my labor not be in vain. Protect it. Don't let the storms of life destroy it. And don't let the insects get it. And don't let it be too much rain or not enough rain. Lord, I want that thing to grow strong and healthy. Now, once you get the seed in the ground, the job just got started. This is to be continued this evening. Now tonight, I want to talk to you about the harvesting and after the harvest. You'd think the harvest was the end of it, but it ain't. After the harvest is usually the best part. So tonight, this morning, we talk about seed time. Tonight, we talk about the harvest. And everybody, even if you don't like farming, if you don't like planting a seed, I don't know anybody that doesn't like the harvest. You know something? I went by Springs Peaches the other day. wanting me a cantaloupe. I love good cantaloupe. I like them real sweet, and I don't like them too mushy. I'm real picky, but I like them. My wife fixes gravy and biscuits and fresh cantaloupe, and it don't get much better than that. I went by Springs Peaches looking for me a cantaloupe. They didn't have one. But I found some down at another little stand down here, and I got one and took it home. Boy, thing was good. We ate it. And you know something? I didn't labor over that cantaloupe. I didn't plant the seed. I didn't prepare the ground. I didn't dig it, dung it, fertilize it, fret over it. But I sure did enjoy it. Amen. My brother Steve comes in here this morning and said, "Preacher, I got one saved this morning." I said, "Glory to God." I didn't do it. I'm just going to enjoy it. Amen. Ryan came home from Jamaica yesterday and seemed like he grew about 6 inches. We was having dinner down there and he was telling us all about stuff he did, you know. And he said he led 77 people to Christ in a week. They had 1,100 saved. They went into high schools and the grade schools and preached the gospel and give invitations. And the principals all encouraged them to come in. And the kids getting saved all over the place. So what'd you do when he said, "Man, I about had a shouting spell. I didn't plant. I didn't water. But I enjoy the harvest." Amen. Amen. We'll talk to you about some of that tonight. Let's bow our head and be dismissed. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Pray that you'll be with us and watch over us today. Bring us back to the house of God tonight. Help us come with expectant hearts, looking for a harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.